Good morning, you guys. As Mark said, I am Alicia. I'm one of the administrators. I'm the administrator here, and along with my husband, who's we're young adults pastors here. We're going to be married for 11 years this December. We have one beautiful daughter named Ella, who is 16 months, and she is the joy of our lives. We both graduated from a Bible college in 2017 called Christ for the Nations, and in May of 2018 is when Dan and I both started working here at Epicenter. So another fun fact about me, I love food. I'm a big foodie. I love all kinds of food. I love Colombian food. I love Cuban food, Malaysian food, Japanese food, all types of food. And I actually, if you guys follow me on Instagram, if you have an Instagram, my username on there is called The OK Foodie. And the reason why it's called The OK Foodie is because I used to do food reviews for people. So basically, they give me free food, and I would promote and post about their restaurant and what I ate online. So if you follow me on Instagram, The OK Foodie, that's why it's that. But basically, in 2017, a friend of mine and ours, we went to Bel Air Chinatown, and we were looking for a restaurant to eat, and we found this Korean restaurant called On, O-H-N, On, and I was like, that's an interesting name, and I've tried Korean food before, but not like this. So basically, at this restaurant On, they took the concept of how a restaurant would be in South Korea, literally transported it here exactly the same way you order by pressing a button on the wall to call the waiter to your table. But not only that, the best part about this restaurant was the unlimited sides. Unlimited sides and unlimited rice. And my favorite word is the word free. So, and on top of all of that, I had never had Korean fried chicken before. And oh my gosh, I was hooked. I was obsessed with this restaurant. Dan and I, we were so obsessed. We started telling like all our friends and we would take them there. We started telling all our family about this restaurant On and we'd take them there. I think even at one point, don't judge us, but the first year that we found out about that restaurant, Dan and I and another friend of ours, we ate there every Friday night for a year straight. We were obsessed with this restaurant. I caught myself like if I was talking to a stranger or a friend, I would be like, hey, do you like food? Do you like Korean food? You should really try this Korean restaurant called On. It's so good. It changed my life, and it'll change yours if you try it. I felt like I was promoting this restaurant everywhere that I went. I tried everything on that menu at least one time in the year that we went there. And it got me thinking, I sound like a crazy person. I don't even work at this restaurant. I'm promoting it. I'm talking about it wherever I go, talking about it every chance I get, bringing it up in every single conversation. And I'm telling all my friends, telling all my family. And I truly thought to myself, wow, do I even talk about Jesus this much? And it's just a thought in my head, because I'm like, I'm over here promoting this restaurant like I work there. If only I talked about Jesus as much as I talked about this restaurant that changed my life and my love for Korean food. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. That's the last thing I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty in here. But, you know, how many times do we find a restaurant that we love, or a movie or a video game or a podcast or whatever it is, and we're like, hey, you guys have to try this restaurant. It changed my life. And if you try it, it'll change yours too. If only we talked about Jesus with that type of urgency. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. In Romans 10:14, it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? If you're a Christian, if you are a follower of Christ, if you are a disciple of Christ and you believe in Jesus, you have been given the green light to talk about Jesus or spread the gospel wherever you go. And you don't have to wait for God or the Holy Spirit to highlight someone to you or put them on your heart. No, you were commissioned 2,000 years ago to spread the gospel when Jesus commissioned those 12 disciples. And I know what you're thinking. Okay, sometimes I'm not truly confident in talking about Jesus to random strangers. Or, or, I'm not confident in answering all the questions that they have. Like, and I get that. But the Bible does say in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We have to be ready in and out of season, you guys. And not only that, we have to do this with gentleness and respect. And you could say, okay, but if I share the gospel with someone, what if they start asking me questions? And worse, what if they start arguing with me? Because you know if people like how people are nowadays, if you say the word Jesus, it's like a trigger. And they're like, oh, Jesus. If Jesus is so good, then how? Or if God is so good, then why does X, Y, Z happen? And I get it. I hate debating. I hate arguing. I'm really bad at it. That's why I hate it. So if it's online or on social media, I just stay far away from it. But I will say the one thing that people will not argue about is your testimony. That's because it's your experience with God, not theirs. It's your story with God. So people can't argue a testimony is because it's what you went through with God, not them. So personally, when it comes to sharing the gospel with strangers, I love bringing up my testimony because it's the truth about what God saved me from. And that's why it's important to know your testimony. And I know I'm throwing this word testimony around. We sang it in worship today. So testimony basically just means to testify, to witness, to record or report what the Lord has done in your life. The word testimony in the Hebrew is pronounced edut, which comes from the root word ut, which literally translates to do it again. So when you share your testimony with someone, you're literally declaring and reporting to this person, do it again, God. Do it again in their lives. Do it again just like you did before. Because you never know what that person is going through. That person could be going through the same exact thing that God saved you from. But you won't know that unless you share your testimony or talk about Jesus with this person. And I love what testimonies do. When I hear testimonies, it builds up my faith. It encourages me. It does remind me that if God did it for them, he can do it for me, and he can do it again. And I know you guys have heard some of the amazing testimonies of these young adults. Haven't they been amazing? Yes. And so when I usually I'll pick who we want to go through a testimony with, we'll meet with them about a week or two before, and we'll ask them to write their testimony. And one of the young adults, Sam, he actually wrote his testimony down a while back, and he said he hadn't visited it in a while. But when he looked back at his testimony, it just reminded him of when he first fell in love with God, that first love type of feeling. And of course, that just made him fall in love with God again. Because that's what testimonies do. They make you remember when God met you at your darkest moment, when he saved you from the mess that you were in and brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you'll find a lot of times, like if you go through marriage counseling or premarital counseling, the first thing that the counselor usually asks the couple is, what made you guys fall in love? And that's one of my favorite things about your testimony. It reminds you of what made you fall in love with God. So today, I'm going to tell you guys a shorter version of my testimony. Some of you guys have heard it before, and a lot of you guys have not. So I grew up in a Baptist church, and I gave my life to Jesus when I was 5 years old. I was told to read my Bible and pray every day because it was the good Christian thing to do. Basically, I thought I knew God the majority of my life. I knew that heaven was a good place, hell was a bad place, and of course, I didn't want to go to hell, so I would do my devotions, go to Sunday church, pray before I went to bed, and that's pretty much what my Christian walk looked like at a young age. Fast forward to my early teenage years, and I still attended church. I went to youth group. I prayed my prayers, and I served anywhere I could in the church to make me feel like I was a good Christian. My life started to get more hectic, thank you, in my later teenage years. I got my first job at 16 years old. So right after school, I would head straight to work and work until about 9:30 to 10 p.m. I also wanted to get good grades in school, so I studied a lot. I ended up graduating number 23 out of 406 students. So that I had a 99.3 grade point average. So my schedule was work, homework, school, Sunday church, youth group, and I also wanted to maintain a social life somehow. But this busy schedule really started to wear me out. And because I was tired and stressed about my job, stressed out about my grades, there was this irritability and tension that I had between my parents, between my siblings, and also my friends. I made a lot of friends in high school, but some of them began to betray me and act really nasty to me. They would act one way in front of me, but say something completely different to another friend of mine behind my back. Now that made me feel like I was stabbed in the back. And I think that's what hurt me the most, is because it made me feel like I was completely alone, and I thought I had nobody on my side. It hurt my heart to think that these people that I trusted really didn't love me. I began to feel overwhelmed with my life. And it felt like this never-ending cycle of rejection, loneliness, tiredness, and stress. I thought I had nobody to relate to, and I really didn't have anybody to talk to. I also didn't know that I could talk to God about my feelings, because I didn't think we had a relationship like that. But looking back and realizing it now, though, I saw the way the enemy tried to make me feel isolated as much as he could. Like I was completely alone and there was no way out. And he will do anything to make you believe that lie, to make you isolate yourself and give you this Lone Ranger mentality. It's me versus them. It's me versus the world. Nobody understands me. And he'll make you feel like there's nobody on your side and nobody's going to listen to you because he's a liar. But I fell for this lie. And I believed this lie that I was completely alone, because I really did feel alone despite me giving my life to Jesus. I started dwelling on those lies, and they would replay in my head day after day after day like a broken record. Eventually, I was consumed with negative thoughts. That's all I thought about. I started having really bad panic attacks where you feel like the walls are closing in and you can't breathe. It literally felt like I was grasping for air, but I could never catch a deep breath because of the heaviness on my chest. This feeling would go on for days, and it made me isolate myself even more because I felt like I was crazy. I felt like nobody could relate to me. I felt like nobody could understand what I was going through. I started having really bad depression because I was scared that the panic attacks would never go away. So I numbed myself. I withdrew from all my friends, my family, and God. When I would wake up in the mornings, I would blame God and I would ask him, why? Why are you doing this to me? What did I do to deserve this? And then one day the thought came to my head. You can't live like this forever. So why don't you kill yourself to make the pain leave? I meditated and I sat on that thought for a while. And then more suicidal thoughts would come, like, no one would care if you killed yourself, so you might as well just do it. And those suicidal thoughts would replay in my head over and over and over until one morning I couldn't take the pain, the depression, the suicidal thoughts anymore. I made up my mind. That day, after school, I would go home and kill myself. And it would be easy, because a couple of teens at my school committed suicide earlier that year. And all I had to do was Google the simplest ways to kill myself on the internet, just like they did. It was my decision, and nobody could change my mind. And the scariest part about all of this started with one thought, a thought that I was alone and nobody would care about me. Bear in mind, I was a Christian. But I let the enemy come in through a lie in my thoughts. Because the enemy, he doesn't need your permission. He needs your agreement. And I came into agreement with this lie. I can't blame anybody else. I came into agreement with this lie that I was alone and nobody would care about me. One thought. One lie. But I believed this lie, and look what it grew into. I felt like a zombie going through school the next day. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't eat. I called into work and made up some random excuse not to show up. I didn't care about anything. But thank God, something inside me, but I know now that it was God. It was the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Something inside me told me to talk to someone and tell them how I was feeling. And I had never done that before. I couldn't talk to my friends because I basically lost all of them. I couldn't talk to my family because I didn't have a relationship with them like that. So the one person that I could think of at that time was my pastor, my old pastor. So I figured, why not? If he can't help me, then no one else could. So I sat in the school parking lot and I texted him asking if I could meet with him. He responded almost immediately, but he said, I have a full schedule, so maybe we can meet tomorrow. My heart sank. My life was teetering on the edge. I knew what I was going to do that night, but he didn't. So for me, it was either now or never. So I texted him again. I have to meet with you today. Please, please. Thankfully, he cleared his schedule and he told me to meet up with him and my old youth pastor at my old church. And when I got to the church, I poured my heart out to them. I told them everything I was feeling. I told them everything that I was going through and that I had made the decision to kill myself. Both my pastor and my youth pastor looked at me completely shocked. And they said that they never expected this from me because I hid it so well. You couldn't tell on the outside what I was going through because I put on this facade that everything was okay. But then my pastor said this, Alicia, you have so many people in your life that love you and would miss you. You matter. And you have a calling and a destiny on your life. And at that moment, it was like a light bulb went off in my head. Ding, 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 ding. He shed light on an area that I never knew. I never thought God had a plan for me in this life, like here on earth. I knew he had a place for me in heaven, but I did not think he had a plan for me here on earth. The God, the creator of the universe, had a specific destiny for me. And my pastor ended up directing me to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I left that meeting with my pastors still unsure, but hopeful that God had a plan for my life that wasn't going to harm me. I began diving into the Word of God like never before. And I wasn't just reading the Bible because it was the good Christian thing to do. I started reading it to get to know about God more. And the more I learned about God, the more I began to learn about myself. My thoughts changed. My outlook on life changed. My perspective changed. My relationship with Jesus completely changed. Since I learned who I was in Christ and I knew about the freedom that I could have in Christ, the negative thoughts, the suicidal thoughts, the panic attacks, the depression, the anxiety, they had to leave, and I did not let them stay there. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. That means every thought that does not sound like the truth of God's word needs to be casted out of your mind and replaced with truth. But you can't know the truth unless you get into the Bible. So get into the word and know the truth, and the truth truly will set you free. And thankfully, to this day, I have been completely set free from anxiety, depression, and suicide. I shared my testimony in September of 2022 here, 4 years ago at Epicenter. And that day two people dedicated their lives to Jesus. One of them was a friend of a friend. I didn't really know him too well, but apparently after I shared my testimony, he came up after service to Pastor Allen, actually. And he got to open up about his struggles with God to Pastor Allen. And that kid prayed with Pastor Allen, and he ended up giving his life to Jesus. And now that same kid, he got married. He has two beautiful kids. He moved to Maine, and he feels called to be a missionary. The second person that gave their life to Jesus that day happens to be someone very near and dear to my heart. My cousin Aiden. Aiden, raise your hand. But you see, Aiden and I grew up in religion. So when I say the word religion, it felt like we had to do these things for God, or we had to do good works for God in order for him to love us or approve of us, not a personal relationship. So when I shared my testimony was the day that Aiden realized, oh, I don't have that personal relationship with Jesus. So I need to give my life to Jesus. And that day he gave his life to Jesus. Now Aiden gets to be a light to his family and his siblings, and his sister just got baptized last week. He's a light to his extended family and his friends who see this hope that Aiden has on the inside of him, and that hope is Jesus. And I'm not trying to brag about my testimony. It's not about my testimony. That's not the point. But when you tell other people about the amazing things that God has done in your life or someone else's life, and they see that transformation, it makes them so much more curious about this Jesus that you're talking about. And that's the power of a testimony. Your testimony matters. Your story matters. It is so important to tell others about the amazing things that God is doing in your life. And maybe you're thinking, okay, well, my story is not dramatic as that. In fact, it's not dramatic at all, but that's okay, because my brother Paul, raise your hand, Paul. His testimony is that he's always walked with God. When he gave his life to Jesus at a young age, he learned from his siblings' mistakes. And ever since then, he's never strayed away. That's beautiful. That's amazing. So if your testimony isn't super dramatic, that's okay. But that's why I love testimonies, because maybe your story can't relate to the person that you're talking to. But if you know of another testimony that could, share it. Share it. If I hear testimony of God doing something amazing in someone else's life, I'll always share it with someone else, even if it didn't happen to me. Because in Revelation 12:11, it says, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. So when I hear some of these young adults' testimonies about what God saved them out of this hopeless and terrible situation, or healing testimonies of people getting healed of life-threatening diseases or cancer, I'll share it because I want to testify of God's goodness and that he still does miracles today. He didn't stop, and he hasn't stopped. And I may not be going through a sickness personally myself, but if I know of someone who is going through a sickness, I'll share a testimony. I'll share what God has healed other people from to testify of what God is still doing here on earth. It helps me build my faith. It helps me believe for the miraculous that if God did it for them, he can do it for me, and he can do it for the person that I'm talking to. And that's why it's so important to get into the Word. Surround yourself with a community of believers that believe the same things that you believe about healing, about deliverance, about salvation. And not only that, listen and read about amazing testimonies of God doing miraculous things in the lives of others. Just like what Cammie did after worship, she testified of the Lord's goodness in her life. We sang about it today. The testimony, one testimony that redeems every story. And I want to share another testimony. There was a lady who grew up in a certain Christian denomination. So at a very young age, she gave her life to Jesus. And later in her life, she ended up getting married to another Christian man. But about 6 months into their marriage, her mom got really, really sick and ended up passing away. But this affected the lady so much that she stopped following God, and this caused her husband to walk away from God too. So they continued doing their own things. They started following the ways of the world. They didn't really care to have kids. They didn't care about children. But about 5 years into their marriage, her sister got pregnant, and she had a baby. And this woman and her husband fell in love with that baby. And they're like, okay, maybe we want to have kids. I want to have kids. So they tried having kids, and they tried, and about a year passed, and nothing was happening. And about another year passed, and it was about 2 years of trying to have a baby, and they just couldn't have a baby. So they realized, okay, maybe we need help. So let's go to a fertility clinic. And they go to this fertility clinic, and they run some tests. And the doctors came back, and they said, ma'am, you have a deformed T-shaped uterus and a tilted pelvis. That means you'll never be able to have a baby. And if you do end up getting pregnant, it's gonna end in a miscarriage. She was so devastated. She immediately agreed with this doctor's report, and she believed the lie that she could never get pregnant and continued living her life without God. Eventually, she gave up on trying to get pregnant because she knew that it would never happen to her. And about 9 years after this diagnosis, she was rushing to get ready for something, but she fell really hard on the stairs, and she knew, oh my gosh, something is wrong. So they rushed to the hospital, and she bruised her spleen so bad that the doctor said it could rupture at any moment, and if it ruptures, it's going to kill you. In a moment of desperation, she and her husband cried out to God to save her life, and God answered. You remember the sister that had the baby? She was a believer. And this sister asked her pastor if she would pray with her sister while she was in the hospital. And this pastor would reach out to her every single day and pray with her and show God's love to her. And this eventually wooed her heart back to the Lord. And she gave her life back to Jesus thanks to that pastor. And thankfully, her spleen never ruptured. But she said, the doctor said, hey, you're going to be placed on strict bed rest for 2 months. So don't move. Don't do anything for 2 months. So, of course, those 2 months began, and she just dove into the Bible. Remember, she had that relationship with God, so she started devouring the Word of God like never before. She built her relationship with God, and He began to heal her heart. She fell in love with Him all over again. And about a year after that, a year after she recovered from the spleen thing, she came down with a really bad case of the flu. So she ended up right back in the doctor's office. And the doctors came back with the news that she didn't have the flu. She was actually pregnant. She was pregnant despite the fact that the doctors said she would never be able to have a baby. But unfortunately, the doctor said, yes, you're pregnant, but you still have this diagnosis. You'll never be able to carry this baby to full term. And if you do, you're going to have a tubal pregnancy and it's going to result in a miscarriage. But remember, she had a relationship with God. And instead of agreeing with the doctor's report like she did the first time, she was getting into the Word. And instead of believing that she was going to miscarry, the scripture that kept playing in her head was Psalms 37:4. And Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So she told that doctor, I understand your concern, but God gave me a miracle. I'm gonna have this baby. And every time she would go to the doctor's office, he would say, well, let's just see if you carry him to 26 weeks. If you carry him to 26 weeks, then we could save the baby. It would be a very premature baby, but we could save this baby. The 26th week came of her pregnancy, and she was still carrying that baby. And the doctor said, well, you probably won't be able to carry this baby to full term, so we're going to monitor you just to be safe. We have to be cautious. She ended up carrying her baby to full term, the 39th week of her pregnancy, and gave birth to a beautiful, healthy, miracle baby boy after 10 years of wanting a baby. She was so happy and grateful to God that He gave her this miracle baby, and her husband began to testify of the miracle that God did in her womb. They began to tell everybody that they knew, their friends, their family. The doctor said that it was impossible for her to have this baby, but with God, all things are possible. And because of this testimony that she kept saying and declaring, two of her closest friends gave their lives to Jesus. And then 2 more years passed by, and she loved this baby. She asked her son, son, what do you want for Christmas? And her 2-year-old son responded, I want a baby sister. But she was devastated again, because what she didn't want to tell her son was that she and her husband had been trying to have another baby for the past 2 years, and nothing was happening. But he was that miracle baby after 10 years of wanting a baby. So she told him, I'm sorry, son. Mommy and daddy can't have another baby. But then a miracle happened. A month after the son said he wanted a baby sister, she was pregnant. So she went to the doctor. And the doctor said, yes, you're pregnant, but we have bad news. This baby is going to have Down syndrome. So you have the option to give birth to this baby with Down syndrome, or we can abort the baby right now. The lady and her husband were so happy to be pregnant again. She didn't care if that baby had Down syndrome. They were keeping that baby. So month after month, they would get checkups, and time after time, the doctors kept saying, this baby's going to have Down syndrome. The baby has been diagnosed with Down syndrome. You need to go to counseling to learn how to take care of a baby with Down syndrome, so be prepared to have a baby with Down syndrome. She ended up carrying that baby to full term again and gave birth to not only a beautiful baby girl, but a completely healthy baby girl with no Down syndrome. And I personally love this testimony because the miracle baby boy that was born from this story happens to be none other than my husband, Dan Rangel. And the miracle girl that was born happens to be my sister-in-law, Kim Rangel, who is serving the Lord and is the U.S. coordinator of Divine Care Ministries, the ministry that we partnered with to build the well in Uganda and send those audio Bibles to. Dan's mom chose not to believe the report of the doctors the second time. She chose to believe God's word over man's report. And the reason why I share this testimony today is because God is a God who still does healings, miracles, signs, and wonders today. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And by the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. By Jesus's wounds on that cross is how we can receive our healing. If you are a believer, if you are a disciple of Christ, if you follow Jesus in the room, healing is a part of your inheritance as children of God. And that's one of the reasons why my mother-in-law could believe that her womb was capable of having children, because healing was a part of her inheritance as a child of God. What seems impossible with man is literally only possible with God after 10 years of wanting a baby. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Mark 5:19 says, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. Think about these testimonies that the Lord has done. Meditate on the things that the Lord has done in your life and the lives of others. And I hope these testimonies encouraged you. I hope today built your faith. I hope today reignites a fire in you to believe God for the miraculous, no matter what situation you are in, to believe God for more. But not only that, please share your testimony with somebody else. Your story matters. Your testimony matters. Testify about the things that God has done in your life. The Bible says in Romans 8:19, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. This generation is waiting for the true sons and daughters of God to reveal themselves. People are ready for you to share your testimony with them. Stand to your feet with me. With that being said, if today you are struggling with anxiety, if you're struggling with depression, suicidal thoughts, if you need a healing in your body, if you want to believe God's word over man's report, then please come to the front. We want to pray with you. We want to be in agreement with you. We want to believe God for the miraculous and contend with you. But if not, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for testimonies, and I thank you that you do it again, God, every single time. You haven't changed. You're still the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And God, I thank you that you will do it again. You will do it again. And you'll give us the courage and the boldness to share our testimony, God. I thank you for even highlighting people in our lives, people at the grocery store, people at the gym or our jobs, Lord. If we have not shared the good news about what you have done in our lives, Lord, I thank you that we have the boldness to do it. And right now, I rebuke the spirit of fear right now. I rebuke the fear of rejection right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the fear of man over your lives, God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would give us boldness and you would give us courage to proclaim your good works, God, and not look at what man says, but what you say. We ask you all these things, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you guys need prayer, please come to the front.